This is the story of a girl. Or is it?
This is the story of a girl who cried a river and drowned the whole world. And while she looked so sad in photographs, I absolutely love her when she smiled.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Decomposition Podcast, where we hyper-analyze all of your favorite terrible songs. My name is Brad, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Katie. Katie, can you say hello, please?
Hello.
Hello. You've done it. You've nailed it. So today, we are going to be discussing the 2000 hit by the band 9 Days, absolutely, parentheses, Story of a Girl. Now, Katie, as I've just mentioned, something that you just said that we agree upon this, and I'm glad to see that I'm keeping up with a Masters of Literary Theory here. This is not at all a story.
No, well, certainly not. A story of a girl.
It's not a story of. It's not a story at all. I would think that this the word story means there is a plot, there is a beginning, middle and an end. Maybe a denouement somewhere in there.
More accurately, this is a couple of tidbits about a girl, and mostly it's focused on the male singer.
This is the tidbit about a girl. More accurate parenthetical title.
And potentially maybe parts of a story of a guy, but certainly not a clear, complete story about anyone.
What did we learn? What is the interesting like climax to this story? I don't know.
In fact, I had no idea what the story of the song was until we watched an interview with the band member.
It's not even like what the story of the girl is so much as just the inspiration. The girl who is the inspiration for this series of non sequiturs.
Once you know his inspiration for writing it, some of the lines that appeared to be about nothing become a little bit clearer. But I have a lot more to say about that when we're farther into
great,
all of this.
Great. So we know that some of the lines mean something. That's what we've gotten to here.
What I learned, but only through an interview with the songwriter, is that some of the lines may mean something.
May have something to do with the girl whom he is speaking about.
Yes.
All right. So this song was released as a single in 2000. Off of the 9 Days album, The Madding Crowd.
Hey, this song can drive now.
Oh, that's adorable. That album was certified gold. This song reached number one on the Billboard Mainstream Top 40, number two on the Billboard Adult Top 40, and climbed up to number six on the Billboard Hot 100, was still the only hit by 9 Days.
Well, that's not a big surprise, because after listening to this today, we did listen to another 9 Days song.
Yeah, we listened to their follow-up single from the same album.
Which was much, much, much worse. And I think this song is pretty bad.
The other song, which was called If I Am, I think, was a lot more drivelly. I feel like there is potentially more to talk about in the other song as far as lyrical content, but because it was not a hit,
right, it wasn't
like
worth it.
It's not worth drudging up some garbage song that, like, 10 9 Days fans remember.
We're here to talk about your favorite terrible songs.
not
the terrible songs that nobody gives a damn about.
I mean, if we were to do that, this podcast would go on literally forever.
Indefinitely.
Just nonsense garbage songs that were not hits. but with that, is it all right if you read the chorus to start us off? And also, like, the very first lines of the song, which is good place to start when they start the song on the chorus.
Let's start from the very beginning.
Let's do that. Katie,
which
go for it.
Which is also the chorus. It says, "This is the story of a girl who cried a river and drowned the whole world, and while she looks so sad in photographs, I absolutely love her when she smiles."
All right, so that's 4 lines, and I already have several problems.
All right, go. You go.
All right, first, I'm going to get the obvious out of the way. The worst rhyme scheme in the history of songwriting, girl in world. And
that's
they do
right.
it 1,000 times in 2 different ways. But it's just, I hate it. It's not a real rhyme.
Right.
It is, and everybody uses it because the other words that rhyme with girl are like curl and whirl.
Twirl.
And curl. And it's like, it's very rare.
Churl.
Oh, yeah. You hear that in song all the time. Girl and
all
churl.
The time.
Yeah. But it's like, songwriters have been struggling to come up with a rhyme for girl that makes sense. And so it's, I think, a smarter decision to use woman, mm-hmm. lady, even go Spanish and say mujer.
Like chick.
Chick, yeah. Baby. Baby is more acceptable, in my opinion. But that's a garbage rhyme that you hear all the time. So I'm just laying that out on the table now. That is my biggest problem with the lyrical content of this song.
No, there are much bigger problems.
That is my biggest problem with the lyrical content of this song. And any song that uses that garbage
agree
line.
Agree to disagree.
That's my opinion. You can't disagree. Like, that is definitely how I feel about it. But anyway, let's move on to the second half of this chorus.
Well, no, I mean, I want to talk about the first half of
okay,
the chorus.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to jump ahead.
Because, so he has this, like, metaphor, she cried a river, you know, trying to say that she cried a right. lot of tears, fine, and she drowned the whole world. Mm-hmm. That doesn't hang together, though.
No, it doesn't hang together.
Because a river wouldn't drown the whole world.
He needed a garbage rhyme.
Right, you need to go bigger than that, or you need to not use the word world there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you can't say that someone cried a river and drowned everyone in the world in it. That is stupid.
Cried an ocean, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe cried a polar ice cap.
Right.
Yeah, there we go.
And it would actually fit to say ocean.
Yeah.
It would sound a little different.
It wouldn't be as common.
Story of a girl who cried an ocean and drowned the whole world.
Right.
Is more plausible, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed. With that, can I move on to the second half of the chorus now?
Yeah.
And while she looks so sad in photographs, I absolutely love her when she smiles. Indicates to me that he does not love her when she does not smile.
I have such a problem with this.
Go for it.
Well, it just brings me back to the fact that, like, whenever women aren't smiling, people tell them to smile.
Yeah.
Like, as a gentleman, you may not have experienced this in your life, but it really does happen all the time. Just like walking down the street, you have your normal face on.
Right.
You're not just like smiling like an insane person everywhere you go. And people will just say like, oh, sweetie, smile. And you want to be like, I really don't want to smile.
That is something that I've especially heard a lot about in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the advent of the phrase resting bitch face.
Right.
Because it seems to me, now as a non-female, this is my opinion, tell me if I'm misguided here.
Okay.
People always say things like, oh, you look so much better when you smile. But if you don't walk around smiling, like you said, mm-hmm. like an insane person, then you automatically have resting bitch face and everybody just assumes you're a bitch.
Right. It's like, if I'm not smiling, then I'm a bitch.
Right.
There's no in between. And the poor thing, like, if she is sad and lonely, why does she have to smile in order to be deserving of his love?
Right.
Like, that's ridiculous. Like, when she's sad and lonely, if she's making a face that is that corresponds with that emotion,
right.
he doesn't love her.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she smiles, he's like, I love you again.
She only looks sad in photographs, evidently.
Right.
In person, maybe not.
Maybe not. I don't know. Oh, well, actually, the chorus kind of changes up a couple of times
right.
later
yeah, yeah, yeah.
in the song, so I'll wait. But I have...
When we get to that, you
have
separate thoughts.
I have something to say about that continues this discussion.
The thing about this, I'm going to drop a fact early on here.
Okay.
The song was written in 1998 for their 2000 album, and it was the songwriter, John Hampson, his attempt to write a, quote, edgier style.
I wish everyone could have seen the face I just made. The shocked
yeah.
eyebrow movement now, that
can
happened.
You imagine what they sounded like before this, when they weren't edgy?
Wow.
But I also want to tell you that they started off at, like, in a heavy metal band together.
What?
So that wasn't edgy enough for them.
So heavy metal wasn't edgy enough.
Right.
And so to get edgier,
they wrote this song
okay.
that was focused on lyrical content.
The focus?
The songwriting. When they switched styles, they wanted to write popular music that had stronger lyrical content.
What in the world was their lyrical content like before?
Seriously? Well, I think it was the same thing we heard in that follow-up single.
Okay.
Where it was just garbage.
Yeah. I mean, because this is not strong lyrical content.
No, it's definitely not. So can I ask you to read the first verse here?
Sure. Maybe. I have to, like, get the lyrics back.
That's important.
How many days in a year she woke up with hope, but she only found tears. and I can be so insincere, making the promises never for real, as long as she stands there waiting, wearing the holes in the soles of her shoes. How many days disappear? You look in the mirror, so how do you choose? Your clothes never wear as well the next day, and your hair never falls in quite the same way. You never seem to run out of things to say.
So, okay, tidbits about this lady. Mm-hmm. That's what we get here.
Well, I think we have to talk about the video that you and I watched being interviewed.
Talking about, yeah.
So it was the anniversary of this song, and they have on the songwriter.
Yeah, this was just last year that this interview took place by Billy Bush before he
lost his job.
Before he lost his job.
Back
when he was still a quote-unquote respected journalist.
Oh, boy.
Interviewing 9 days, 17 years after
this
the
song. This is the big
came.
Time. 9 days who had no other hits.
Right.
So they have on the songwriter and lead singer, as well as one of the other band members, but they're really just talking to the songwriter, lead singer, about where this song came from. And they cut over to this woman and like two teenage boys that are kind of waiting in the wings. And he talks about the fact that this song is about her and she's now his wife. And it was a period in their relationship where she was like, you know, we have to get engaged. I'm serious about this relationship and I'm not happy if we're not engaged. I'm in it for a ring and we need to get this locked down. And he wasn't ready to propose to her yet. So knowing that, there are a few lines in this verse that
makes sense.
Now I can make the mental leap and despite say, the correspond fact that with that story.
It is not a story.
Right.
The lines make sense.
Like
some of the lines, I should say.
That tale he told in the interview is a story.
Sure.
But this is not
this is
a complete
not
story that
story
makes
of a girl.
That clear at all.
Right.
And it's certainly not the story of a girl because he almost immediately switches to talking about himself.
Right. Great
and
job,
title,
John Hansen.
Hampson. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Parentheses, the story of a girl.
Yeah.
It's absolutely not.
It is absolute. He absolutely loves her. It's not the absolutely the story of a girl.
I know that he says, and I absolutely love her when she smiles in the lyrics, but the title.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Makes the connection between absolutely and story of a girl.
But that is something that you see an awful lot where the parenthetical is not connected to I mean, sometimes Meatloaf's I Would Do Anything for Love. Parentheses, but I won't do that. That makes sense.
Right.
But like take New Kids on the Block, The Right Stuff, parentheses, You've Got It.
Yeah.
That is not necessarily, I mean, that's not a great example, but because that's not how the lyrics necessarily go. But, you know, this is, I don't have a problem with the parenthetical.
Go ahead, defend it, Brad.
Okay. The story of a girl is in parentheses because that's the hook.
Uh-huh. And so that's
like,
how people are going to
remember
like,
the name of the song. Example. Here's a great example. Escape, the Pina Colada song.
Okay.
So same basic thing.
The parentheses are there so we remember
exactly
which
what
song
we're talking about.
Well, I'm still saying it's absolutely not the story of a girl.
Yeah. So, okay, how many days in the year she woke up with hope but only found tears? Like, this song is loaded with cheap rhymes.
Sure.
But that makes sense. Like, she wanted to be proposed to. Only to find out every morning that she wasn't being proposed to.
But it only makes sense because we watched an interview that was filmed 16 years later.
Yeah.
Now, I was just working with a student this week on writing a college essay.
Mm.
And when I read the student's work, I couldn't really tell what the full story was because the student wasn't giving me enough information.
Uh-huh.
There were too many assumptions about prior knowledge and not enough detailed information. So
gotcha.
I got a few paragraphs in and I had to say to him, I'm not exactly sure what the connection between the words and the page are and what the connection is between the words on the page and the events you're telling me that this is supposed to be about because you haven't filled me in on the details. Now, he had told me a lot of the details out loud, but they weren't on the page. And that's exactly the problem with this song, right?
Mm.
If the writer assumes
that we know
it's
an engagement problem,
that you and I have context that's in his own mind, then we don't get that this is a full story because we don't have enough information.
Okay. Okay. So that's why this guy didn't put out any, like, hit novels.
I guess so.
Number one New York Times bestsellers.
But, I mean, from a writing perspective, he's called this song a story.
Yeah.
And so it should read like a narrative poem.
Right.
Not just like a bunch of random gobbledygook cobbled together. But because you don't have enough context for the story doesn't come across. It only makes sense because we now know the context.
Right. Okay. So I'm looking over this first verse again. Now that I have that context,
yeah,
the first several stanzas are fine, you know? It's basically her waiting to be proposed to. Until you get to the last line in that first one where it says, "You look in the mirror, so how do you choose?" Any idea where he's going with that thought? Because it drops off. Your clothes never wear as well the next day, and your hair never falls in quite the same way. You never seem to run out of things to say.
Well, one of the other problems with the song is that he keeps changing point of view.
Okay.
So the story, which we'll call it story loosely.
Air quotes story.
Air quotes story. Yeah. Begins in first person.
Uh-huh.
And then it switches to third person.
Right. She.
Right.
And then it moves along to second person.
And then it moves to second person.
You.
Right. And so it's like, who is the you here? And because it all becomes a little bit confused in terms of perspective and point of view. However, when I look at how many days disappear, you look in the mirror, so how do you choose? I think there he's talking to himself. And like, but it could go either way. It could be he's talking to himself, like, how many days am I going to get let go by where I get up, I look in the mirror, and I try to choose, like, is this the day where I propose to her? Or it could be her, right? How many days does she allow to go by where she gets up in the morning, she looks in the mirror, and she decides whether to wait or whether to leave.
Right. Or there's the surprise third person that we don't know about.
Right.
He's telling his friend about his soon-to-be fiancé.
And he's saying to the friend, like, if you were me, how would you choose? Uh-huh. How many days would you let go by
but he also, I don't think he does that again later in the song. So it's like we immediately forget about his potential buddy that he's telling this tale to.
Well, he continues using you in your...
Throughout the remainder of the first verse, yes.
And so I feel like the you has to be her.
Okay.
But he was referring to her as she.
Yeah.
And then, like, suddenly switches to referring to her as you.
It's almost as if he's a bad songwriter,
it's
maybe.
It's almost as if he's not a good storyteller at all.
Uh-huh. First, he needs to learn what the word story means.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, that's, you know, expository writing 101
He needs to go back to my sophomore English class, where one of the first things that I do in our short story unit is just review with my students the parts of the story.
I can't wait till you get to give John Hampson a sophomore level education.
I'm going to write him a letter. I'm going to invite him over. I'm going to say, I would like to do a one-on-one version of like the first few days of my English class with
He might need a place to stay, a place to crash. So if he wants to come over and learn.
His wife and his two teenage boys can't come, though. We just don't have that
kind of space. No, absolutely. Your clothes never wear as well the next day, and your hair never falls in quite the same way. You never seem to run out of things to say. Is that just cheap rhymes?
I think it's just filler. And
yeah. We need a pre-chorus in this
song. Are these like the reasons why he's not ready to propose to her yet? Like these are a list of her deficiencies?
Can I tell you something else that he said when discussing his wife? This was in an older interview, not the one we watched today. He says, quote, "I realized as much as she aggravates me, I absolutely love her when she smiles." So are these the things that aggravate him?
I guess. I mean, it says you never seem to run out of things to say. I get the impression it's like she talks too much or something.
Yeah, she's always got a comeback in their arguments. Mm-hmm. Like, so.
Or she's always like blabbing on and on and on, and he just doesn't want to hear it.
Right. I feel like he just felt like he needed a pre-chorus for the song,
and
that was easy to write and get down on paper.
Can I say the one other thing in the first verse that annoys me,
yes,
even though we kind of skipped it? Wearing the holes in the soles of her shoes.
Yep. Is she wearing the actual holes?
Right. I mean,
it's the holes. If she said wearing holes in the soles of her shoes, that would make more sense. But putting the word the in there.
And what a terrible boyfriend he is, by the way.
Sure.
Like he's fine
now
with
husband.
Her. Just standing around. It says, as long as she stands there waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So
she doesn't do anything else.
That's what he wants her to do. Like, he's cool as right. long as she stands there waiting, wearing the holes in the soles of her shoes. You're a jerk, sir. You're a jerk. That is not gentlemanly.
Or at the very least, he was in the years in the year 1998.
Like, Brad, if you had holes in your shoes right. and you couldn't afford new ones, I wouldn't just make you stand around in them. Like, I'd buy you a pair of shoes because I love you.
Well, listen, you are a better husband than John Hampson is. So
I think I'm a better husband.
Great
than
job,
Benny.
Katie. Nice. Okay. How many lovers would stay just to put up with this shit day after day? How do we wind up this way? Watching the mouths for the words I would say. As long as we stand here waiting, wearing the clothes of the souls I would choose, how do we get there today? If we're waking too far, wait, if we're walking too far from the price of shoes. Oh, baby, that is loaded with terrible. That is loaded with terrible
it
right
sure
there.
Is.
Oh,
it
man.
Sure is.
It's like it wasn't until I just read it out loud right now that I realized how much terrible garbage is in that verse.
Like, it's so nonsensical that you struggle to
read
it.
Oh, yeah. First one that bothers me, how do we wind up this way? Wouldn't it be how did we wind up this way?
Sure.
They're yeah. fighting now. Right. They're arguing now.
Right, so in the middle of an argument, I don't say, let's imagine you and I are arguing, which is
on.
Difficult.
Let me wrap my brain around that for a moment.
It actually is difficult. So we're arguing, and in the middle of the argument, I'm like reflecting on how we got here, uh-huh. and I say, how do we end up this way?
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. You would say, how did we end up like this?
This, yeah.
How did this happen? Not how do this happen? That's stupid.
No, yeah, exactly. That's just another example of bad songwriting from John Hampson and the folks at 9 Days.
Also, if the character in the song was self-reflective at all, he wouldn't have to ask that question because
sure.
he knows how they got
he
this
could,
way.
He could recite to you line after line about how this...
How do we end up this way? Oh, my girlfriend who I have a relationship with, who I told I've promised I would propose to...
Yeah.
Is
We've
still
had
waiting
at length discussions about this
for me to make a marriage commitment to her.
Oh man.
That's how we end up this way.
This song is getting worse as I go over the lyrics.
Do you know I wrote that down when I was looking at this earlier?
That it's worse now.
I wrote down this song is way more problematic than I initially thought.
Yeah.
I just thought it was lame.
Right.
But instead, it has some like horrible inconsistencies.
Yeah. Seriously, when this song came out, it was bad, but. Like, it was poppy enough and catchy mm-hmm. enough that I would be able to sing along with it.
Totally. Totally. I mean, I have to admit that right now. I don't think I've ever turned this song off. I think I've definitely, like, turned it up and sang along.
Yeah.
Without thinking about what it said at all.
Oh, man. Watching the mouths for the words I would say.
The mouths?
What?
Plural?
Yeah. Watching the mouths for the words I would say. How many mouths does this guy have?
He needs a grammar tutorial so bad.
Oh, I'm getting more fired up about these lyrics. As long as we stand here waiting, wearing the clothes of the souls I would choose.
I think that's supposed to be souls like your soul inside of you. Like the body is the clothes. I'm giving it
right.
a lot of credit
I'm going to look up a secondary lyrical source.
Oh, we did earlier, and in the other lyrical source, remember we watched the lyrics video?
Yeah.
It was souls, S-O-U-L-S.
Was it?
Yes.
All right, well,
for sure.
Hang on. Then let me look up a tertiary
now,
source here.
For the listeners at home, we're looking at the Google lyrics, and
right.
it's spelled S-O-L-E-S, like the soles of your shoes again. But I think it has to be clothes.
I mean, according to azlyrics.com, it is S-O-L-E-S. So, oh, God. And now let's see.
Well, there's also a grammatical error if we're walking too far. This says T-O far.
Yeah, I saw that as well. But
I'm going to go ahead and give them some credit and say that's a Google lyrics error.
Metrolyrics.com also says S-O-L-E-S.
But they're probably all pulling from the same... source. Like, we would have to look at the liner notes or if something anybody, to know for sure.
Please, if somebody somehow
has this album with the liner notes,
just let us know. Verify somebody, anybody. Send us an email, decompositionpod@gmail.com, decomp_pod on Twitter. I will repeat that later. You know I will, but I need to know. Nailed it. Nailed it.
But I'm going to go ahead and give them the benefit of the doubt and say that this is wearing the clothes of the souls I would choose. And souls, S-O-U-L-S. So, like, we're wearing clothes that... But it still doesn't work.
It
you know
still
what?
Does
I
not
still
work.
Can't make it
not
work.
Not at all. And then the following line is the same kind of garbage. Like,
it needs to be wearing the clothes of the souls we would choose.
Right.
And then... you could make that work. Like, our outer appearance is reflective of our internal being and desires. Does that make any other sense within the context of the rest of the verse? No. Uh-huh. But at least you can make the line make sense.
How do we get there today if we're walking too far from the price of shoes?
What does that mean?
You want to hear something unsurprising?
Yes.
This song evidently took 15 minutes to write.
15 minutes is the golden time for really crappy one-hit wonders.
15 minutes is somehow, like, you either write, you have two options, two polar opposites. You either write a complete garbage song, mm-hmm. or you write some sort of, like, fantastic piece of work that just, like, flows out of you.
Right.
Like, inspired piece of work that flows out of you.
That didn't happen here.
Nobody ever wrote, like, I wrote an okay song in 15 minutes. It's all right.
It's hard to say nobody ever did that.
Well,
if you did,
not,
feel free to share it right now.
If you've written a great song or a mediocre song, excuse me, if you've written a mediocre song in 15 minutes, reach out to us, decomp_pod.
We'll play it.
I will absolutely analyze the hell out of
that. But we might have to talk about it.
We might just talk
some
shit.
That's a risk you're going to take. So how do we get there today? I guess how do we get to either engagements or to arguing today? I'm not sure. If we're walking too far from the price of the shoes, like, is he talking about how he doesn't have enough money for an engagement ring? I'm too far away from the price of shoes. If your engagement ring only costs as much as shoes, then I could get you one. But you don't even have money for shoes because your shoes have holes in them.
Sure.
How is this verse the story of a girl?
How do we get there today? If we're walking too far from the price of the shoes.
I just want to point something out.
Yep.
He doesn't even say she one time in this verse. So the girl about whom this story is written is not directly mentioned even one time in the verse.
Yeah.
There's some there's some him and her together potentially, but... we is never definitively identified.
What if he's discussing we as his buddy to whom he is relaying the story of this girl?
Yeah, I don't think that's it.
No. All right. Have it your way. Have it your way.
I will. Just stand here with you, wearing the clothes of the souls that we choose. How do we get there today?
When we're walking too far from the price of the shoes. Your clothes never wear as well. And then it just repeats the chorus-y.
Except there's one repetition of the chorus where it changes a little bit.
Yeah.
This is the story of a girl who's... Ooh. I had to stop.
Take a breath.
Take two. Okay. This is the story of a girl whose pretty face she hid from the world. And while she looked so sad and lonely there... I absolutely love her. I hate that. I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the implication based on the rest of the song is when she looks sad and lonely, she doesn't look pretty.
Right.
Like, her prettiness is contingent upon her smiling, and he only loves her when she's smiling because he only loves her when she looks pretty and smiley and happy. And if she's sad and lonely, too bad.
Oh, you just raspberried that.
I did a thumbs down. I did a thumbs down. Like,
it sounded like you just farted into the microphone.
I guarantee I did not.
I'm going to hold that over your head. So that's causing Katie rage.
Like, this guy can just go to hell. I mean, that's really mean. I take it back. But seriously, this character, at least, can just go to hell.
1998 John Hampson can go straight to hell.
Not the real.
The character of 1998 character John Hampson. If anybody out there is writing the 9 Days movie, please write it better than this song.
I just find this to be so obnoxious. It comes right back to the whole telling women to smile business.
Yeah.
Just cut it out already. Like,
listen, it was 2000. Like, this stuff was acceptable back then. How times have changed.
Oh, my goodness.
Girls, smile, you're prettier.
Whose pretty face she hid from the world. Mm-hmm. Get out of town. Like, you're such a jerk.
Can we talk about the video?
Yeah, sure.
Do you remember anything about the video?
No.
Neither do I.
Oh.
I know the band is playing. That's all I really...
Interesting. I guess we can't talk about the video.
I want to say there... Oh, I hope I'm remembering this correctly. I believe there's a bathtub overflowing.
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
I can
remember... This song was huge. I have no idea what the video was like.
I can remember the video for the other crappier... Potentially crappier song. Where it's like a girl who's sitting on the edge of the top of a building, like she's thinking about jumping off of it.
Okay.
And then she starts walking down the street and he's running after her. And all the lyrics are about how, like, she's maybe potentially about to go over the edge. But then it's all about how, like, that makes him feel. Because I think he might be the most self-centered jerk face on the planet.
This video for Absolutely Story of a Girl is directed by Liz Friedlander, who what seems like just like a dominant music video director in like the 90s, early 2000s. Like, she did work with, amongst others, Maxwell, Babyface, Megadeth, G-Love, Porno for Pyros, Harvey Danger, Celine Dion, R.E.M., Blink-182, Katie Lang, U2.
It's quite a diverse repertoire.
Exactly. I don't remember anything about this video. There may have been a bathtub.
That's all I got. You could tell me there was like a chimpanzee, and I'd say, yeah, probably.
Okay,
I don't know.
That seems like a 90s thing to happen, have a chimpanzee in a video. Sure. Mm-hmm.
But this is 2000.
Pardon me. Well, it seems like a 2000 thing. Could have a chimpanzee in a video. That's fine. So that is like another... that's what makes this song like so trite and kind of forgettable.
Right.
You know, granted, we remember that it existed, but it is all in all like just a middle of the road pop song.
Like, it's so forgettable that until we decided to examine it, even though I've like heard it so many times and turned it up in my car, I didn't even notice how offensive it is. And I mean offensive in terms of the depiction of the lady, and offensive in his use of grammar.
This is offensive to you as an English teacher.
It sure is.
The guy that produced this album, the Madden Crowd, New Jersey native, Nick Didia, D-I-D-I-A, and this guy has over 40 million in sales with various artists, including, and I, like, you want to talk about diverse, like, it's not just Liz Friedlander, the video director, but the producer, Nick Didia. He's worked with one of my all-time favorites, Bruce Springsteen. He did 6 albums. Rage Against the Machine, he did several albums. One of our recent constructs or decomposition pieces on here, Alice Cooper's Trash with Only My Heart Talking.
Okay.
He produced that. Gaslight Anthem, Incubus, Martin Sexton, Matthew Sweet, Neil Young, Offspring... 6 times with Pearl Jam, 6 times with Stone Temple Pilots, and 3 times with other decomposition all-star Train.
You know what stuck out to me in all of that?
What's that?
The album title. I mean, all that information was super interesting.
Yeah.
But I got distracted because it just clicked for me. It's like,
The Madden Crowd?
Album title, The Madden Crowd. Who the hell do they think they are?
With the literary reference?
Having a Thomas Hardy literary allusion.
Yeah.
In the title of their album,
yeah,
which is so poorly written in terms of the lyrics, even that it's supposed to be more lyrically focused.
Yeah.
I can't finish my sentence.
Bunch of a-holes, right?
Bunch of a-holes.
Bunch of a-holes.
Like, that's so pretentious. You have to at least put your money where your mouth is. If you're going to call your album The Madding Crowd, then it needs to be beautifully written.
Yeah.
It should be literary.
Well, way to screw that up, guys. I don't know. Nothing I can really add to that. This is, again, offensive to you as an English teacher.
Katie rage.
So much Katie rage just flying out of your face. You're farting into the microphone.
Dude, how dare you? How dare you? Do not say that.
Very, very late 90s thing to do here. Name your band with a number in it. 9 Days, Three Doors Down, Third Eye Blind, Stroke Nine. Like, there's a zillion of them out there.
Yes, there are.
Blink 182. I don't
know. Seven
Mary Three. Great example. Thank you for getting that one out there.
Whoop, whoop. And I didn't even have it written down.
No. This song, also an interesting little factoid. And this is due to, like, the rise of, like, Napster and LimeWire and the just mislabeling of song mm-hmm. titles. A bunch of people think it was covered by, like, Third Eye Blind, which it was not. It was, however, covered by that terrible punk band, 4 Year Strong, we listened to.
Another number band.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's also a very, like, punk rock thing, too. Like, you find three words,
mm-hmm.
one of which is a number.
Right.
So... That's
a formula.
That is very much a formula. It's like, how do we get popular? Let's do that. So these guys are still around, still touring. Put out an album in 2016 called Snapshots. For all you...
I'm not going to listen to it.
All you 9 Days fans out there. Seriously, if you do a YouTube search for 9 Days, like, you find nothing.
Really?
From this song. This song and that other one. And then
so
after
even though they just
around,
put out an album, there are no, like, videos or even live performances on YouTube?
No. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I scrolled through 2 pages of YouTube videos. I wasn't digging deep.
You didn't deep dive.
I was not. Yeah, no. I didn't get into a YouTube wormhole. Not really worth investigating further.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not into trite drivel. So.
So this is enough for you. You're
this
good
is enough
now.
For me. Yeah, absolutely.
Would you still listen to it if it came on the radio?
Yeah.
I would too.
If I have it going on a playlist, yeah, it's catchy enough that I can turn the volume down low enough that it can just be like background noise.
Right. I might no longer turn it up and sing along, but I still wouldn't change the station. And if that makes me a hypocrite, I can live with that.
If this song came on at a bar, I would point out to our friends mm-hmm. how terrible the song is.
If this song came on at a bar, I bet you I would find myself singing along and then feel mildly annoyed with myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
Oh, no, terrible song. You got me again.
What grade is this song getting?
Give this one a D.
D? Oh, it didn't fail.
No.
Ooh, despite the lack of a story, despite the tense problems... Despite the mechanical errors and despite the spelling mistake, soul.
Oh, it probably would fail for mechanics.
Okay.
You know, but for content, it gets a D.
Yep.
There's an attempt at a story there. It's not devoid of story altogether. It's just incredibly poorly executed.
I think it is devoid of a story.
Oh, Brad gives
it an F. We have context. Yeah, absolutely. As a non-teacher, 9 days you get an F, still going to listen to your song. So... Okay, and with that, I guess we can wrap this one up then. Put another one on the books. 21 down. Here's to 21 more, huh?
Woo-woo!
All right, and so if you have any questions, comments, concerns, if you want to double-check your liner notes for the Madding Crowd, please get in touch with us, decompositionpod@gmail.com. Reach out to us on Twitter, decomp_pod. Find us on Facebook, Decomposition Podcast. And in the meantime, thank you guys very much for listening. Please, let's get some reviews up on iTunes. That would make me feel good inside if you could just give us a little 5-star click or a little, hey, you guys are just fine, 3 stars on iTunes. I don't mind.
Yeah, that'll do.
And in the meantime, you guys just chill till the next episode. Okay, so the band is playing.
Make it big.
Make it big. There you go, full screen. Can you see that?
Yeah, I can.
What is that weird mole he's got in his eyeball?
He looks so different than he did in that interview.
There is a bathtub. Nailed it.
Well, when ladies are sad, they take baths.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's what sad ladies do.
She needs a glass of white wine. Oh, that bathtub
is about to overflow. It's dangerously full.
Is this all it is? Is her just rolling her head around in the bathtub?
Sometimes smiling, sometimes not smiling.
Did they need to hire a big video director to do this, or could they have just gotten any asshole on the street?
Tub's overflowing.
She doesn't even notice.
Her downstairs neighbors are going to be real upset. It looks like she lives in an apartment to me. Oh, now we're following the chord of their music. Slob.
Yeah, that's...
And I predicted it. There's a downstairs neighbor. Yeah, he's watching TV, and now there's water dripping on his TV because of her overflowing bath. Oh, he just dropped a cigarette.
I'm just going to end up in the puddle that forms.
Mm-hmm, that's good. She's putting on soaking wet jeans
now. Right out of the tub, too.
That looks like the couch from the Longview video. The Green Day Longview video.
They spent all their money on the director. They had to get cheap used furniture.
She's a real slob.
There's a party. I forgot there was a party. Those guys rocking out seriously to 9 Days.
Those people are doing like the light pop version of moshing in this video.
I forgot there was a guitar solo in this song. I'll be honest.
It's pretty generic.
It is super generic. Can I turn this off? Can I just be done with this song
That's
forever?
It. We get it. Right. No wonder we didn't remember anything about it. Oh my gosh, there's a minute and like 9 seconds left of that.